supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
With Frosty the Snowman in the rearview mirror, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft continues its sojourn through the outer reaches of our solar system. Let's pay a visit with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, now new information about that sojourn is apparently on hold until Wednesday.
Yes, you're right. Earth actually goes into eclipse behind the sun from the transmission beam coming from the spacecraft. In other words, it looks like the spacecraft is hidden behind the sun for a few days. And so by the 9th, next Wednesday, we can begin downloading more information from the spacecraft. Overall, it'll take about 20 months to get everything back.
More information about Ultima Thule. What do we know about it so far?
Well, so far we know that this object is sort of like a snowman shape, like two bodies stuck together. We call it bilobate, or you could describe it as a contact binary, in which two spherical objects eventually came to coalesce together, forming this object that looks like a snowman. One large lobe, one smaller lobe. Altogether, it's about 21 miles long.
How is it possible that we were able to track down an object that small, that far away?
You know, I think this is one of the most miraculous aspects of the journey altogether, in that when New Horizons visited Pluto back in 2015, at that time, spacecraft operators did not know where the spacecraft was headed next. It was only subsequent to that that it was determined that Ultima Thule, or the object that we now call Ultima Thule, was going to be the destination. In fact, in many ways, they were feeling around in the dark for an object they could not see. They pretty much knew where it was, but did not exactly know where it was and could only estimate where it was going to be.
Looking around in the dark, this is our solar system, but looking back, what does our sun look like from that distance?
Our sun looks like a decent-sized star. It almost is as what Venus appears like in our evening sky as we're looking at it, nice and bright. But the amount of light on the surface of Ultima Thule is actually very low. The mission scientists are saying that it looks as if the surface of Ultima Thule is about as dark as potting soil. So you know that can't be very reflective, and that makes it that much more difficult to identify.
Ultima Thule, one of countless planetesimals beyond Pluto. But visiting this region, what does it tell us about our solar system neighbors?
Well, being this far out, we're at a region of the solar system where the objects that are here are left over from the very beginning, but they're unconsolidated, uncoalesced. So this is material around from the beginning of the solar system that didn't form into planets, but still represents what the environment was like, what the compositional materials may have been like for early planets. And thus, looking at these materials at this distance, we can begin to get a better idea of what the early solar system was like. It's as if we've dug up something that's been buried in ice for thousands of years, and we find it now just as it was those thousands of years ago. We're seeing objects as the solar system was only several hundred thousand years, or maybe a million years or 2 million years after our solar system was formed. Very early indeed.
Derek, let's take a moment and pay tribute to NASA's first chief of astronomy and first leader of the effort to create Hubble Space Telescope.
Yes, indeed. This is a name that may not have come up in the public eye as much as the name Hubble for Hubble Space Telescope has. But, you know, many of these projects start so much earlier than when we actually see them. And Hubble Space Telescope is a really good example of that. That project probably started 20 to 25 years before it ever got into the public eye. But Nancy Grace Roman was NASA's first chief of astronomy, and she was the first leader of the effort to actually create Space Telescope, recognizing that putting a telescope in orbit above Earth would really improve our ability to observe deep space objects if we could only come up with a mechanism to get it in space. And surely, as Space Shuttle came along, that program really enabled that capability of putting a telescope in space. And fortunately, Nancy Grace Roman, who just died last week at the age of 93, lived to see the full success of Hubble Space Telescope.
With time and technology marching on, she also got to live to see the development of land-based telescopes that can factor out atmospheric conditions.
Yeah, you're right. She started at NASA in 1948, and this is at the time just before the what was going to be the largest Earth-based telescope, the 200-inch Hale telescope that's in Southern California, was first put into use. She was certainly involved in astronomy well before she started her career at NASA, when this telescope was first being built. But subsequent to that, she had been able to see how all of the ground-based telescopes not only proliferated in places, other places around the world, but to see how the technology grew and changed in such a way that these telescopes have actually become very, very worthy partners of space telescope capability, because their ground-based capability has grown and expanded so much that these two tools together make an unbeatable combination for being able to observe deep, deep space.
Lastly, if we want to pull information from terra firma, a new moon means optimal viewing of the night skies if they're clear. What's available to be seen this week?
Well, there's a lot of really great stuff available for us to see. First of all, the winter constellations are beautiful in the evening sky over on the eastern side at 9 p.m. Orion the Hunter, the main winter constellation, is easily visible there, as well as the lovely planet Mars around in the south, still with us after sunset and on into the evening. The real action, though, was happening in the pre-dawn sky in that half hour from 6 a.m. to 6:30 in the morning. Not only do we find brilliant Venus, but we also find the largest planet of the solar system, Jupiter. Now, to add to the show, on Thursday morning, 5:21 in the morning, if you happen to be up that early, International Space Station pops into view in the northeast and then sails out to the east just beneath the brilliant star Vega. So this is a great opportunity to catch International Space Station and Vega. Space Station shows up at about 5:21 in the morning, heads out toward the east, passes just under Vega, and then goes on to the southeastern horizon by 5:25. And of course, new moon today? Well, there is a partial solar eclipse, but not visible for us. If you're in northeast China, you would be able to see it.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.